The sneaker game has changed a ton over the years, and I want to discuss five ways that I've seen in my time in the game, this time on Fire Footwear. Welcome back to Fire Footwear, everybody. As always, I'm your host, Matt Freights, and I hope that this finds you well. I hope that your 2025 is off to a great start, and I hope that last week's episode regarding sneaker resolutions was something that resonated with you. I did get a lot of positive feedback, and I'm very excited to implement some of these resolutions in my everyday sneaker life. And one of the ways that I wanted to do that was by getting new voices and hearing different perspectives on the pod. And so next week, we're going to hear from somebody who I consider one of the boots on the ground in sneaker culture and sneaker content. So look out for that next week. But what do I want to talk about this week? Well, I want to talk about how sneaker culture has changed over time. One of the things I love about sneaker culture in general is that there is some element in it for everybody. And while sometimes that isn't an element that you necessarily live with, I do feel like the inclusion that is capable within sneaker culture is something that we need to lean into a little bit more. Maybe resale has ruined some aspects of that, but I think that the sneaker world has kind of fallen down a little bit in terms of overall popularity. And some of that is due to some of the observations that I have made, but honestly, I think some of it is just due to economics. And I think the fact that so many shoes are available and the stock is high, hype is down, and we're probably going to see some of these companies try to traffic in that as we come about this year. But I wanted to get into some of the things that I have seen in sneaker culture. When you talk about culture, there are so many elements to it that go into what makes something a culture. And even in the larger aspect of a culture, there are many subcultures within it that people live in. But the idea is that sneaker culture encompasses a lot of different elements that many of us live through. And over the years, and when I think of this, I think more specifically in the past 5, 6, 7, maybe even 10 years, some of these elements that have changed earlier than that have started to have a huge influence on the game and the culture. And when I was listening to some other sneaker content this week, they were talking about one element of it, and it really got me to thinking about the culture as a whole. And so I wanted to take this opportunity to talk about some of those changes that I think have happened. I also want to say here that these aren't necessarily bad changes depending on how you look at it. Some of them can be perceived as bad, some of them can be perceived as good, and I think that's just the way life works. So let's get into five of them that I saw and I think are important for you to hear. The first one, I think, is a changeover to online shopping. Obviously, the internet wasn't invented 5 years ago. It was invented a long time ago. And who invented it? Well, some people have different opinions about that. But online shopping has changed a lot when it comes to sneakers. Think about 10 years ago, even. One of the best ways to get a shoe was to go to a sneaker release. And if you listened last week, you'll remember that that was something that I encouraged you all to do. But I think online shopping has changed the way that we connect in this game. And I think it changes the way that we connect with shoes, and it changes the way that we connect with our fellow sneaker lover. When you had to go out to stores, it was an experience. It was also time that you had to take to go out to these stores. A vast majority of the time, unless you had a plug or really knew what you were doing, you were wasting a lot of time when you went out to these stores because many people wouldn't come home with the shoes that they wanted. You just couldn't. It was impossible to come home with it every single time that you went. But now, with online shopping being predominantly the way that people cop shoes, now you can do it whenever you want. Now you can wake up a literal minute before the release time and possibly even get the shoes. You can enter raffles, you can try on multiple sites. There are many options available to you. And that's a huge shift in the way that we do this. And I think that in some ways it has made it, I don't know, a little bit of a detriment to the culture, because the availability and the ability to go get something whenever we want, I do believe in a general way takes away from the appreciation that we have. Even somebody like me, who doesn't buy as many shoes as, say, your average sneaker lover, whenever I get a pair of shoes, It's almost conditioned inside me to start thinking about the next pair, because every weekend, almost every day, there is a shoe that releases. It becomes so hard to keep up. But because of online shopping, we're very excited when we cop the shoe that we want, whether it's a win on sneakers, getting it at a boutique, however we get it. And then we're waiting and anticipating for it to come to our door, and we get it, and then we kind of see it. We maybe post about it on social media. Some people might wear it right out the gate, and then we're already on to the next one. My cop list for this year is about 10 shoes, which is double what I thought I wanted last year. And so it's difficult to appreciate them when we can just get them as often as we want. And that actually leads to the next observation that I made, and that is less brick and mortar sneaker stores. Now, don't get me wrong, they are still around and you can still find them. Foot Locker, DTLR, there are places like that where you can still go to a physical store, see what stock they have, and buy a shoe from those folks. But there are fewer and far between. And even the bigger companies, I think Nike is the most egregious with this. They try to go direct to consumer. And in my opinion, while that is noble in its intention, it failed in its execution. Because I think what Nike failed to realize, and the reason that they failed to realize it, is because they don't have enough people who truly live this culture out. And I think they thought, well, we're gonna be able to give our customers exactly what they want more on demand than if they have to go somewhere else. And yes, in today's society where people are working from home more, and even the pandemic kind of got people to rethink just how busy they were, there is an element to going out to a store and being a part of a community. And these stores have changed fundamentally now. They are different than they have ever been. And that's gonna be another observation that I'll make a little bit later. But honestly, the community that used to be a part of these stores is no longer. You can no longer go out there and find a bunch of people that are gonna hype up what you have on or meet up with people during a release. It may happen in certain areas of the country and for certain shoes, and that goes down to marketing. But in places like where I live, if I go to my local DTLR, I'm probably not going to see a line out the door. And some of that has to do with the fact that they just don't get the shoes anymore. And that kind of stinks, because the physical nature, the community building that would happen, even if you went out to a brick and mortar store and struck out on a shoe, you might actually strike up a new friendship, and that leads to connections that could lead to plugs. There's so many avenues that that could lead down, and we don't have those anymore. It just doesn't exist that way. And the other observation within the brick and mortar stores, and I think this is a fundamental shift, is the fact that customer service is no longer the same. Now, before anybody calls me a hater of young people, it has nothing to do with the age of the people. To me, I think it just has to do with the culture around working in a retail store. Obviously, younger people, people younger than me, especially kids that are in high school or are high school adjacent, they have fundamentally different views on customer service in general. They have fundamentally different views on life, on phone usage, many things. And so there is going to be a generational gap that comes with this observation. But I think really the culprit is how these corporations have made changes at a macro level that are now seen at a micro level. In a lot of stores, commissions are gone. And if you worked in retail, and especially if you worked in an area like footwear, which is where I worked, you got commission if you made a sale. So being on point with your customer service was super, super important. I know for me, I would go up to customers immediately. I wouldn't bother them after my initial conversation with them, but if I would say, "Can I help you with anything?" 90% of the time they'd say, "You know, I really would like to find X, Y, or Z." And many times that was an in to educate them and also make sure that that sale happened. Even back in the day when I worked at Sports Authority, these brands or representatives of these brands would come to the stores to teach us about new technology, to let us know about new products. And what that did by extension was let us be more informed so that we could make more sales. It was a different experience. You were almost treated like royalty when you went into a store like that. Think about your shoe buying experience as a kid. They would measure your foot. They would go through a ton of things, bring you so many different pairs, take that pair to the register for you. And honestly, it was a different experience. Now, when you walk into these stores, because the employees of these stores have been disincentivized by the corporations to treat you that way, they almost treat you as if you are a nuisance. They're almost bothered by your appearance there. And so you have to taper your expectations when you go to these places. And I think customer service, not just in sneaker stores, but all over retail, has taken a huge dip because I think culturally we have made it less important to be polite, less important to be decent. And I think that it's hard to expect top-notch customer service from people who have basically been told by the company, we don't care about you. And so they treat it like a job. And that all maybe can be considered one element of change, but there are so many micro changes within this, the physical nature of the culture. But when we talked about young people, this is something that I think I've observed a lot more lately, and it is a huge paradigm shift in my mind from how I grew up and how I view the culture. And it is the idea of cool versus comfort. Really, younger people sacrificing the idea of being cool and being perceived as cool for comfort. When you go to any type of business that employs younger people, again, high school age, high school adjacent age, maybe right out of high school, and you look down at their feet. Back in the day, you used to look down at their feet and you would see a lot of hype. You would see cool shoes if they were into that sort of thing. Because when I was growing up, one of the reasons why I would wear the new pair of clothes that I got, the new jersey that I got, or the new shoes that I got, was because I wanted somebody somewhere to look at me and think, I'm not as cool as that person. I didn't realize it until I was an adult, but that's really what the game was all about. And it is about that somewhat today, but I think for younger people, the priority is their comfort. Now, to be fair, right now, hype is really driven around runners and comfort shoes of the like. So it's not as if they are bucking trends by wearing Hokas and On Clouds and things, but I don't think most sneakerheads would think about those shoes as hype. And the other part of it that's interesting is that if you ask them about it, they will tell you it's because they're on their feet all day. I'm somebody who's in my 40s and the aches and pains of getting older are just something that come with aging. It happens. But I would never have talked like that when I was in my teens. I would never have said that to an adult. I would have done anything to feel cooler and cooler and cooler if I had to. My feet would have been bleeding if it meant that somebody thought I was cooler than I was. And yeah, that's the silliness of high school, and maybe those kids are a little bit more adjusted today. It's just such a paradigm shift in my mind, but it has led to a shift on what is cool and what is hype in the culture for people like me. Kayanos, Sauconys, a lot of brands that you would never have seen big 5 years ago. Now they're huge. And while I have certain opinions about the runners being hype, it is what it is. And I think the idea of cool versus comfort is changing, and I'm not sure it will ever go back. But younger people love one thing more than anything, and that's social media. Now, to be fair, a lot of people love social media, but the advent of social media fundamentally changed our world in ways that I just don't think we even understand the full breadth of yet. Social media can have positive elements to it for sure. If I'm focusing on the negative aspect of it as it relates to sneakers, I think the idea of FOMO is really important because influencers, companies like Complex, they're constantly posting about shoes that they have access to, constantly posting about people who have higher access to shoes than we do or the ability to get them a lot easier than we do. And even when we get a pair, we gotta make sure we have on feet. We gotta make sure people know what's in our collection. And I definitely got caught up in that when I was in my rep sneaker days. I will fully cop to that. I got caught up in the idea that I wanted people to think that I had something. And now that I've matured in this, and now that I'm a content creator in this, I want people to see what I have, but for different reasons, because I want people to see what my expression of this is. And that's the thing, is everybody can express themselves differently through sneakers, and we should all be able to live harmoniously through it and just support each other. And that's one of the things about social media that's tough, because whether it's sneakers, whether it's parenting, whether it's politics, doesn't matter. We are constantly able to have a platform to say whatever we want, and really, there are no consequences to it. You can have an opinion that a Nike is terrible. You can have an opinion on our upcoming president. You can have an opinion on how somebody is parenting their kid. You can say almost whatever you want, and nobody can really tell you not to. Nobody can police you. And that comes into negativity. People are mean on social media. They say mean things. They're willing to say things that they probably would never say to somebody's face. Some people would, of course, but for the most part, your keyboard warriors are just that. They're not going to say it to your face. And that has made a toxicity within the culture that I think kind of sucks. I think social media at its core is a good thing, but I think there are unintended consequences that came about from the creation of it that went far beyond just connecting with people. But it's not all negative, in my opinion. The greatest thing about social media is that it has connected me with a lot of you, you listening. I say this a lot, but I have so many people reach out to me just to say, hey, I love what you're doing. And that to me is awesome. We've even gone further than that by creating a group chat, gone further than that to make friends with some of those people, legitimate friends with people that you never would have known if not for social media. That's the positivity that I like to take from it. That's what I think is really important when it comes down to how we use social media. And I am grateful for that. When somebody tells me that I found your podcast, I found your YouTube channel, and I feel more seen, more heard, because it feels like I'm talking with a genuine friend. To me, that is the kind of connection that I want. And social media does provide that. Social media is a way to connect people that live all over the world. I've been able to connect with people that don't live in my city, don't live in my state, hell, don't even live in my country. And a shout out to all of you, because all of you make it worthwhile and you are why I continue to do this. And so while social media has been a negative change for society in many ways, in that particular way, it does allow us the ability to connect with people and stay connected with people that maybe we wouldn't have back in the day. Those are the ways that I have observed sneaker culture has changed. Obviously, there are more ways in which it has changed, and I would love to hear from you. Call the Fire Footwear Hotline, area code 202-643-9170. If you want to follow me on Instagram, at Fire Footwear Pod is the way to do that. I love to hear from people, and I'd love to hear from you. If you want to find me on YouTube, Fire Footwear Sneakers Talk on YouTube, please go there. Please subscribe. Please watch the videos. I'm doing some really awesome stuff, some more fireside chats, if you will. And don't forget to look out for next week's episode where we will have our second interview of Fire Footwear. I hope this finds everybody well. I hope this finds everybody safe. And I will talk to you next time. This is Fire Footwear. Opinions and viewpoints expressed on Fire Footwear are those of Matt Freites and his guest, and not necessarily those of the Matty Ice Media Network. Fire Footwear is exclusively owned by Matt Freites and is brought to you by the Matty Ice Media Network.